Amen. I'm glad the Lord didn't throw the clay away. Sure enjoy both songs tonight. Enjoy hearing our church family sing as well. And I'm not going to preach on Samson. So you probably didn't read your bulletin anyway. So go to Ephesians chapter 5, very familiar passage. And so I'm going to give you back 5 minutes tonight. Probably. Ephesians chapter 5, I have taken the opportunity, I think the Lord's laid it upon my heart this year to preach on the family more than I preached on it in a long time. So now that I want to just hammer on the same theme. As we think about Father's Day this morning, and our challenge to the fathers this morning to again, just to be the dads we ought to be the husbands we ought to be, to follow Jesus, to follow in His steps. Tonight we have Paul speaking to us about the church, but in here the analogy is used about the family and wives and husbands' relationship. And so I want to start back though in verse 18. Chapter 5, Ephesians 5:18 says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 21, "Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Ephesians 5, verse 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again we come to You thanking You for Your Word and the guide that we have for our families. I pray tonight we would see these important truths, and we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. So tonight, very simple message on submission. I think as we think about serving the Lord, we must understand that in order to serve the Lord, we must be submissive to Him. And the word submission basically means yielded, to yield to someone else, to submit to them, to yield to them. And so we know as Christians that our Heavenly Father sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for us, shed His blood. He rose again on the third day, and He came, and He gave us everlasting life. And the sacrifice He made, it is simply amazing, beyond belief, what the Heavenly Father has done for us. And based upon what He's done for us, we in turn ought to, it is our reasonable service. It's our reasonable service to yield and submit to Him, to yield our lives a living sacrifice to Him. And so we ought to be submissive to our Heavenly Father. We think about being submissive in the family. Again, as I mentioned this morning, we know the family is under attack. And understand that the Bible makes it clear that when we get married, that it's till death do us part. That today we live in a society who feels like they can get married and little trouble comes, they just divorce and go on. And certainly that was not the biblical pattern, and is not the biblical pattern, and not the way Christians ought to handle themselves. And the one reason why it's going on is because of a lack of submission. A lack of yielding one to another. It's not just about, again, we always focus on the verses about the wife submitting, but verse 21 says we ought to submit to one another. We ought to submit to one another. So today, just tonight, very briefly, three things in order to have a successful marriage. Three things, very simple. Number one, yield to the Spirit of God. "Be ye not drunk with wine," verse 18, "wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." You want to have a successful relationship, any kind of relationship. You want to have a successful marriage? Yield to the Spirit of God. Submit to the Holy Spirit. Again, a lot of false teaching going on today concerning the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. A lot of false teaching. But can I remind you that Jesus said, "I must go away that I might send another, a comforter to come, that I might send the advocate, one called alongside to help." I'm thankful for the Holy Ghost that lives inside of me. Aren't you? 1 Corinthians says we are the temple of God. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit abides in us. When we get saved, immediately upon salvation, our spirit is quickened and the Holy Spirit comes and abides in us. And He's there to comfort us, to help us, to enable us, to strengthen us. In fact, let me give you that outline I've given you before. I won't give you the whole thing, but the Bible says that that Holy Spirit comes to indwell us. And indwelling is for enlightenment. He said he will lead you into all truth. Right? So when the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us, he's the one that enlightens us, enables us to understand the Scriptures. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us insight into the Scriptures. You don't have to be a pastor or preacher or a Bible college graduate to understand the Bible. The Holy Spirit will give you understanding. You're simply asking for it. Psalm says that he might open our eyes, that we might behold the wondrous things found there in the law of God. And that ought to be one of your prayers before you read your Bible. Lord, open my eyes that I may behold the wondrous things there found in the Word of God and your law. So it's there, the indwellment of the Holy Spirit is there for enlightenment. And number two, the filling of the Holy Spirit is for enablement. Enablement. In other words, the Holy Spirit doesn't just come to give us salvation. He enables us to live this life. It's grace for godly living. He gives us grace. Grace is God's freely given favor, even unto enablement. Right? We're saved by grace, and we're to live by grace. We're saved by faith, we're to live by faith. If we are to, we're saved, and the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us, it's the Holy Spirit that enables us, that empowers us to live the Christian life. You want to live, have a marriage and a relationship that is joyful and lasting and so forth, yield to the Spirit of God. He will empower you, he will enable you to have that lasting relationship. Number three, we think about the sealing of the Holy Spirit for engagement. We think about a wedding ring, kind of that seal that we saw yesterday happen as they put their rings on their fingers and got married. It says, okay, I'm no longer mine, I'm hers, right? She's no longer hers, she's mine. We're sealed, right? Everybody with me? Engagement. I'm sealed until the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit of God. And then there's estrangement, the quenching of the Holy Spirit and so forth. But the Holy Spirit is there. Again, abiding in us, enabling us. We are to yield to him. Again, when you got saved, you received all the Holy Spirit that you will ever get. Everyone receives the same Holy Spirit and the same amount of the Holy Spirit. It's not about how much Holy Spirit has of you. It's about how much the Holy Spirit, I'm sorry, it's not about how much of the Holy Spirit you have. It's how much the Holy Spirit has of you. And Brother Wiggins just touched on this the other night. And Holy Spirit feeling is not about what how much we have of the Holy Spirit. It's how much of us that we are yielding to the Holy Spirit. In other words, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. You think about a drunkard, someone who drinks alcohol and allows that alcohol to, you know, control them. Hello, right? That's what happens. And they would do things they wouldn't normally do because the alcohol has control of them, right? Right. I want the Holy Spirit to have control of me. I want the Holy Spirit to, I want to yield to him, submit to him. In other words, we ought to submit to his control. And the question would be, what controls you or who controls you? And the Holy Spirit ought to be the one who's in control of our lives. We submit and we yield to him what he has for us. Yielding means to empty oneself. In other words, if the Holy Spirit's going to have control of you, then anger can't have control of you. We empty ourselves. The Holy Spirit can't have control of you if bitterness has control of you. What I've seen here lately, just a lot of people controlled by bitterness. I'm going to remind you that the trials and things that come into our life will either make you better or bitter. And I see so many times people become bitter when they go through life's difficulties. You can't be bitter and be filled with the Spirit. They won't coexist. You have one or the other as far as the feeling is concerned. And I want to remind you that this is a command. Be not drunk with wine where it's excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. This is something that as Christians we ought to seek. We ought to seek the filling of the Holy Spirit. I believe it's something we ought to ask for. I know it's something given freely. Salvation is given freely, so is the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's given freely. You don't have to earn it. God will give it to you. And we simply yield to the Spirit of God. It's either self or the Holy Ghost. You're either full of yourself or you're full of the Holy Ghost. And if we are to have a meaningful, successful relationship with our loved one, then we need to be filled with the Spirit of God. F- filled, to be controlled by Him, under His control. In order to do that, we must saturate our things with ourselves with the things of God. If the mom and the dad are yielded to the Holy Spirit, and the young people and children are yielded to the Holy Spirit, the family will coexist in harmony. Right? It'll just happen. Somebody has said, our instrument is tuned to the same standard, but the standard is not us, it's the Lord. In other words, you can tune an instrument, and you need to tune the instrument to a tuner, to the same tuner, to the right, you know, you don't, anyway. Everybody's ear is a little different, mine especially. So you want to tune it right, some of you musicians. Anyway, we all need to be tuned to the same tuner. The tuner is Jesus Christ. He's the standard. As we yield to Him, as we yield to the Holy Spirit, then our relationships will be right. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Most, if not all, issues in marriage and relationships has to do with our personal walk with Jesus. We need to be yielded to Him. I know this is a simple message, but it's there. Yield to the Spirit of God. Yield to the Lord. Number two, yield to your spouse. Verse 21, submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Hey, by the way, verses 19 and 20, if you yield to the Holy Spirit, joy will be produced in your life. Joy will be produced. Singing, making melody in your heart, giving thanks always, those will be the natural product of submitting to the Lord. You submit to the Lord, you'll experience joy. You submit to the Lord, you're filled with the Spirit, you'll experience that joy unspeakable and full of glory. You submit to the Holy Spirit, you'll have that abundant life that Jesus Christ came to give you. As you experience the abundant life, you experience that by submitting one to another in the fear of God. So we submit to each other. Submit to each other to lay down our arms and stop fighting. Right? That's what submit means. I just love that definition. Submit means to lay down your arms and stop fighting. So lay down your arms. I just think about marriage and, yeah. Romans, the book of Romans says, prefer one another. It's another way of saying it. Prefer one another. We ought to prefer one another. I'm to prefer my wife before myself. I'm sorry. Prefer our children before ourselves. We prefer one another. We're to submit and yield to each other in the fear of God. We should yield to each other in the fear of the Lord. By the way, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We ought to submit, yield to each other. Are you yielded to your spouse? Do you prefer your spouse over yourself? Hello? How do you treat them? Think back as I've pastored these many years now, whatever, 20-something years, at the different relationships that I've seen. And I've noticed many times over the years how men treat ladies and how ladies treat their men, their husbands and wives. And I'm telling you now that submitting to each other seemingly seems very difficult because we're all selfish by nature. It doesn't come natural to submit to each other. It doesn't come natural to prefer each other, to prefer your spouse over yourself. It has to be the work of God. So that's why you must first yield to the Holy Spirit. And as you yield to the Holy Spirit, then you'll be able to, and He will enable you, He will strengthen you to prefer your spouse over your, to look out for the needs of your spouse over your own needs. Hello? To treat your spouse as you would want to be treated. Right? That means, you know, we don't snap our fingers at our wife, you know. She's not a dog. Hello? Everybody, I need an amen, guys. You'd be surprised. Sometimes I hear a husband tell his wife to do something and you just hear that tone, you know. It's almost like treating her. I don't get that. We prefer the wife. She's not your slave. It's called please. Might work with your kids too. Sorry, I got a little bit preachy there. Amen? We need to be kind to each other, prefer each other. Be civil, be kind. Here recently, I got on a kick of watching the Andy Griffith Show. Netflix is amazing, isn't it? So you start at season one and just begin to work your way through it. And I love how Andy Griffith, especially some of those early ones, I mean, nearly every show all the way through had a moral teaching of some sort. And so a man and a wife were fighting in their home, and it got all the neighbors all riled up. They were so loud, throwing dishes at each other and so whatever. And so Barney and Andy had to show up at the house, and they show up there, and they say, hey, you can't be throwing dishes at each other. You can't be doing this. They step in there and try to take care of it. And finally, Andy brings them back to the office, and he sets them down. He said, okay, I'm going to put you in jail, or you can do this. And he has them promise that when they get up in the morning, that they would begin to use the word please to each other and honey. And then he had them practice there in the sheriff's office. Honey, would you please do this? And dear, he would say, the husband would say, dear, would you do this? It was just comical to watch, of course. I was just thinking in my own mind of how true that might be in so many homes where the husband and wife are fighting in that occasion and fighting in that way. And it's because we don't prefer each other. We don't submit to each other. We want our way. We want our stuff. We want our coffee now or whatever the case is. And we treat our spouses, again, I'm going to use the word, like dogs. May we be very careful. You say, well, preacher, I'm this age and I can't change. Yes, you can. See, you submit to the Holy Spirit first. And you submit to Him and He will enable you to change. Well, my dad did. It doesn't matter what your dad did. Doesn't matter how your dad treated your mama. You do what the Bible says. Hello? You treat your wife kindly. You treat your wife sensibly. You treat her like a queen. She'll treat you like a king. I know that's a kind of a wise tale, but that's a biblical principle. You treat her right, she'll treat you right. Now, she's to submit as unto the Lord. She should treat you right whether you treat her right or not. But, man, you submit to the Holy Spirit. He will enable you to prefer her. And we ought to do so in the fear of the Lord. And then, of course, it says that the wife is to submit as unto the Lord. And I want to remind the wives that are here tonight, listen, you're to submit whether your husband's worthy of it or not. Because you're not submitting to him. You're submitting to the Lord. That's what it says. Submit as unto the Lord. That we are to yield to him. And it says that the husband's the head of the wife. And I want to remind you that word head basically means leader. He's the leader. He is the role that God has placed the husband in the home is leader. And you ought to yield to that leadership. The father and the husband is to give that leadership. Not as a dictator and a tyrant. Not pushing, but leading. You ever look behind you and see if anybody's following? That makes you a leader, right? Right? You're not a leader unless somebody's following you. If you're having to push everybody and yell at everybody, hello? You're not the leader. You're the dictator. I'm not saying sometimes we don't have to be forceful. Please get me wrong. In the context of which I'm preaching to now, we ought to be, again, the head, the leader. Subjection or submit to each other. That's the role that God has given. And may we submit to the Holy Spirit. May we submit to each other. May we submit to our spouses. And husband, submit to your wife. Prefer her over yourself. Love her as Christ loved the church, right? That's number three. Number three is yield to the Savior. Yield to the Savior. There in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We spent time on that this morning, but we'll do it again. Christ is the head of every man. And we're to lead as Christ would lead. And we're to certainly love our wives as Christ loved. And that is, he gave his life for him. So if I was, for us, so if following Christ's example, that means he sacrificed. That's the word I'm going to use, sacrifice. We ought to sacrifice for our spouses. We ought to sacrifice for our spouses. We ought to sacrifice for our children. We ought to give of ourselves for them. We ought to sacrifice for them. Just some practical pointers tonight. Husbands, remembering giving yourself to your wife is not just about telling her, it's about showing her. Showing her. Hello? And that means many times we get busy in life, and I'm the same way. It may be that you haven't had a date in a while. When's the last time you took your wife out on a date? You want to show you love her? Take her out on a date. Courting doesn't stop when you get married. It should continue. Hello? Preaching to myself. Amen. It means there ought to be some flowers every once in a while. Maybe your wife isn't a flower. I haven't found too many ladies who aren't flower people. They'll say, well, I'd rather have this or I'd rather have... But, you know, I'm not talking about spending $55,000 on flowers, but you go to... I'm just not that type of person. I'm not going to spend $100 on flowers. Just not going to do it. My wife would not want that. She would be upset with me. But to go buy, Sam's usually, you can find them there, $12. Albertson's, some of these, on the way out at the door, you can buy that little $6 bouquet. See, at least I know, you men get me? Hello? Right? How easy is it to, some of you have never shopped before. You don't know. I was telling one of the men, and my wife, I always like to point her, she testified to this. Growing up, I did most of the grocery shopping when our kids were growing up. And it was just easier than her. We had Micah, yeah. It was just easier for her to allow me to do the shopping. So, but, flowers, taking your wife out on a date. There are people in this room who would keep your child, who would help you. You got grandparents who can help, parents, so forth. Just showing your wife that you love her, helping around the house. This is an area I ought to do better in. Wife shouldn't have to tell you 17 times to fix something. Maybe you're not a fixer. Maybe you just got to call somebody to come fix it. Whatever the case is, that we show them that we love them. Amen? Sorry to get practical on you guys. It's Father's Day. Yielding to each other, yielding to the Savior, loving our wives as Christ loved the church, to give up. To sacrifice means to give up something. And sometimes it means giving up a fishing trip. Sometimes it means giving up a golfing trip. Sometimes it means giving up the way we've done something or a habit that we have. Hello? A preacher, I'm this. You know what? The Holy Spirit will help you change. 2 seconds on that subject. Wives, you can't change your husband, but the Holy Spirit can. If you married him expecting him to change or you to change him, not going to happen. I've yet to see it happen. He may force himself to do it a while, and he won't like himself, and you won't like him either. But the Holy Spirit can make the change. It's amazing when that happens. You pray for him. Love him. Encourage him. Vice versa the same way, guys. Can't change your wife, but the Holy Spirit can. As you yield to the Holy Spirit, as you get closer to God, those changes will take place. But sacrifice, guys. Sacrifice means to give up something. Love is measured by the sacrifice that we make. And whatever sacrifice that is. And some of you know the book, The Five Love Languages. I'd encourage you to get it and read it. Each person has a different way in which they accept a love. And there's different ways in which that happens. But most ladies, 99% of them, would love for you to do something around the house. Just don't put something out of place. Or I don't put up dishes because I don't know where they go. And then she can't find them. But I will put them out on the deal. I will rinse them off. Sacrifice. Show your love by what you do for her. I love y'all all punting at each other. I have a lot more stuff written down. You say, well, husband can say, well, preacher, you don't know. You don't know the type of person I'm living with, the type of lady. And I know there's a book of Proverbs says a lot about an angry wife and a big house and so forth. You can look up those scriptures for yourself. They're interesting. But I again go back to the scripture. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Love. If you're yielded to the Holy Spirit and you're yielding to Him and you're walking with the Savior, you're walking in love, you're walking with the Lord, you will be enabled by the Holy Spirit to love your wife as Christ loved the church, no matter what is going on. Amen? That's Bible. It's true. And you can deal with it. I'm thankful I have the Holy Spirit inside of me to help me, to enable me, to strengthen me, encourage me. Husbands, may we be reminded of that. Wives, submit to the Holy Spirit. Submit to the Holy Ghost. As this morning we preached on the characteristics of God and us following in Christ's steps, right? I mean, that's what we do. We study God. We study the God who is displayed or given to us by way of His Son, Jesus Christ, right? The way we know God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we follow in those steps, whether it's being trustworthy, being truthful, being pure, being a God of love, all the things we talked about this morning, we're following in Jesus' steps. We're following His example. Amen? Tonight, we're simply given some practical things. We ought to yield to the Holy Spirit. What I'm saying is, this will work in any relationship, not just husbands and wives. This morning's message will work with your next-door neighbor. Tonight's message will also work with your coworker. Prefer one another. Submit to each other. You submit to the Holy Ghost. You submit and yield to Him. You give yourself to Him. And your relationship with your aunt will be what it should be. Teenager, you submit to the Holy Spirit. You yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield to your parents, then you will sing. You'll have joy. It's amazing. It works with every relationship. As couples, we need to yield to the Spirit of God. He will enable us to yield to each other. Love as Christ loved. By the way, He knows every thought you've ever had or will have, and yet He still loves you. He loves that way, then that's a tall order for us to love that same way. Love unconditionally. Marriage takes work, effort, humility, self-sacrifice. I know I brag on my dad a lot, but watching my dad with my mom growing up, and then especially in the last 7-8 years of my mom's life before she passed away 3 years ago, I'm just so thankful for a godly example I have of my dad, who cared physically for my mother, who had been sick most of the 40 years of my life, and just continued to take care of her. Almost, not all of their married life, but a lot of it, a majority of it, up until the end. Wasn't just physical problems she had emotional problems, she had mental issues. She diagnosed bipolar and many other things. She had lots of issues, and Dad just plugged along. It wasn't that he plugged along, he loved her. And he still loves her now, 3 years later after she's died. They loved each other, and it was great to witness as a child growing up, to see my dad care for her and my mom love him back. Paul Getty, I got this out of a quote out of a book, it says, Paul Getty, who was one of the richest men who ever lived, was asked this question at the end of his life. Is there anything in life that you wish you had had or you wish you had possessed? And he had everything. He said this. He said, I envy a happy married couple. We ought to be happy married couples. Amen. Marriage was not meant to be endured, but meant to be what? I don't know why I years ago came up with those, hammering that thing home. Children were not meant to be endured. They're meant to be enjoyed. If you're not enjoying your marriage, it's in your corner. If you'll submit to the Holy Spirit, submit to your spouse, and submit to the Savior, you'll have a happy marriage. It works every time. That formula works every time. No exceptions. No exceptions. Amen? Let's all stand. Hymn 500. Good Father's Day today. I hope you had a wonderful afternoon. Maybe your spouse let you take a nap. Maybe fed you good. But I can tell you, husbands, we ought to work at being good dads. We ought to work at being good husbands. And it takes work. And it takes effort. And we do that by submitting to the Holy Spirit, submitting to our spouses, and submitting to the Savior. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we thank you again for the roadmap that it gives us to be the couples we ought to be in our marriages. And Lord, may you, through your Holy Spirit, enable us to have that type of marriage. May you enable us to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.